Yes, yes, yes.
All right.
All right. First interview of the year.
Yeah, it's going down like that, man. K Cash, what's going on? It's the untouchable DJ Drastic in your area, understand?
Yes, yes. K Cash in the building and a place to be.
Okay, please understand. Please understand. You know, Labor Day had just passed, so, you know, we had to come correct. Understand what it is, man. Shouts to Reed Richards. K Cash is the untouchable DJ Draft, the Coalition Bump Squad, the Grind King. I guess it ain't doing a whole lot of things. You understand me?
Radio Nation Club, MEC in the building, Mega Evers.
WMEC, shouts to Mega Evers. Like I said, Labor Day had just passed. It was crazy. Shouts to all of the West Indians. You know what I'm saying? Do we got to shout the flags out? Do
we
got
to shout the flags? We can't run through everything because I got to go to Africa. I got to go to Canada. There's too much continents that was out there. I seen flags. I see Zimbabwe out there, man.
Zimbabwe.
I see South Africa was out there representing,
Zimbabwe.
Man. I can't go through everything, man.
Crazy. But I tell you what, we will represent right now. Understand, in the building right now, I want to give a tremendous shout to Barbados. All right?
Bup.
Understand what time it is. We have the Queen of Soca in the house, Allison Hines. Allison Hines, what's going on?
I'm good. I'm very good.
Yes.
Allison, how are you?
Hines in the house. Yes. Allison, I know you was down here for the Labor Day weekend. What was it like?
It was good. It was busy. It was hectic.
It was a blessing.
It was, you know, and it's good to be able to come into New York and, you know, you don't want to be sitting down twiddling your thumbs.
Yeah.
You know, you want to be out there. You want to be busy. You want to be doing stuff. You want to be hopping from show to show. And that's how it was for me. You know, the weekend was... It was crazy, and then of course everything ended up on the parkway. I was on the Beijing truck this year.
Okay.
And you know, it was hot. It was quite hot.
It wasn't as hot as usual.
Well, no, it wasn't. But it was hot. You know, so I'm saying it was hot. And it was, you know, need to wear a little sunblock and stuff.
Yes. Yes, yes, man. The Beijing float was definitely pumping coming down the parkway. As you all know, the Beijing floats is always one of the first floats to come down the parkway.
And we were late this year.
Y'all were late too?
We were so late this year. Oh, it was
man.
Not even funny we were so late.
Wow, yeah, because everything started off late. I was on the CUNY float. We didn't get moving until 12:30, and was one of the first floats moving.
Wow. So we were late. We were late.
One thing I noticed, Mr. Bloomberg tried to lock us off real early.
Wow.
Yeah.
Real early. Bloomberg locking up the parade. I think 4:30 the last truck came. I seen about 1,000 sweeping machines and police cars following them up the parkway.
Uh-huh. That's right. That's absolutely correct. I could see them.
Every year, it's like the parade gets shorter.
Yeah, I mean, soon from now, you know, we could be finished at 12.
That's why I think Juve runs so late, you know, because everybody knows it's going to end early. So let me just stay outside for Juve.
That's right. Yeah.
Call it a day.
Shout
out to all my powder people, the mud people, all the curry powder, all of that. Because without y'all, we would not have Labor Day. May the powder live on.
And we got to shout out Dinkins. We need Dinkins back.
Dinkins, man. Man, Dinkins, man.
We miss you, David Dinkins.
Oh, man.
Wow. Shout out to all the panyards and all of those tailors that put together all those extravagant costumes.
All the costumes,
Yes.
Shout out to all the bands, on the road, all those beautiful costumes that were on the road.
Man.
Excellent. Great. Beautiful.
Excellent. I'm about to start a magazine, the Costumes of Labor Day. Just start a calendar. Let's get it popping drastic.
You're
going to quarterback that one right there.
Yes, sir. It's going to be very colorful, man. It's going to be very colorful.
Very.
I could dig it.
So what's good, man? We're going to get rolling off. You want to start this off drastic? What's goody?
Go ahead, Kate.
That's what's up, man. So Miss Allison Hines.
Yes.
Glad to have you in the Mega Evers facilities.
Thank you.
Crown Heights, big up, bup. Of course. Shout out to the whole of Brooklyn.
Yeah.
But we going to get into this, man. How did you get started in the music industry? Because you look young.
I started when I was like 5.
5 years old.
Just like Michael. I was 5.
Yes.
So tell us a little about it.
I actually was in secondary school, which would be high school here. I came out of high school. And there was a band called Square One, and I knew one of the guys, which was Anderson Armstrong. At the time, he was known as Youngblood, and he was actually an artist. He was a young artist, a young Calypsonian, and we became friends and so on.
I like how you did that Calypsonian.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a Calypsonian at the time. He is now a soca artist. And he told me about the band Square One. They were looking for a female singer. He also actually encouraged me to enter this local talent competition in Barbados. And it was, he helped me choose my songs. I was doing ballads at that time. I wasn't doing any soca or reggae or anything anywhere near that. I was doing ballads. He helped me choose my songs. He came to rehearsals with me, gave me a lot of guidance. And I went all the way to the finals. I placed third. And after that, he said, well, you know, we're looking for a female artist. Would you like to join the band? And I didn't know what to do with myself, because that was like one of my dreams, to be in a band and to sing and to entertain people. But I was very, 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 very shy. Very shy.
Wow.
I was the artist that you see today. It took a while for me to get to this point. I used to stand up in the middle of the stage and sing. I didn't even used to hold the mic. The mic was in the mic stand. And, you know, I would sing and that was it. I could not talk. I could not, like, nothing. That was it. Just sing and that was it. That's what you got from Allison. And, I guess over time, we started out as a hotel band, actually. We were on the hotel circuit in Barbados and, we kind of started to build our repertoire from there. That's where I started singing. I started singing reggae, alternative, pop. And then we went into the nightclub circuit. And when we got on the club circuit, well, now we had to be playing covers of everything. So I was doing dancehall. I was doing conscious lyrics. I was doing pop. I was doing ballads. I was doing everything. I had to do everything in order to be able to, you know, to be viable. But soca was always at the core of the band. That was always at the core. Soca was actually the last thing that I got involved in, ironically. And my first song actually wasn't Ragamuffin. My first hit was Ragamuffin, but one of my first soca tunes, one of my first raga soca tracks, was a track called Special. And that was one that was, that people in Barbados would really have known. It didn't get outside of the island or anything. But Ragamuffin was my first major hit. That was what I won Road March with, and was the first woman to win Road March.
Yes, make sure you say that. First female.
First female,
yes.
The very first.
Yes, groundbreaking. Groundbreaking, man. So growing up, who were some of your biggest musical influences?
I'm a huge Prince fan.
Prince.
I love Prince.
Everybody loves Prince, Prince, right before my generation, man.
I love Prince.
Prince was a pretty man. I mean, to this day, he still looks 21 years old.
He still does.
I know, and I met him. I've seen, he has like a shine, like the Dave Chappelle thing, like, you see it when you see
aura,
him.
An aura.
He has nothing, like everything is perfect. Wow. Perfect like shave. He looks like he always has a fresh shave.
He would be, like, he is the artist that if I ever met him, I would just be stupid. I'd be tongue-tied. I would just be all of that. Like, I've met other, like, really big stars.
Yeah.
But him, I'd be stupid. I'd be an idiot. I'd be like, I'd be all of that.
Let me ask you this. were you into Prince on the first album where it was just him with, I believe it was a baby blue album cover and he just had the hair flowing?
And the,
It was like a blowout. Did you evolve with Prince? Were you still into Prince when he became the artist formerly known as?
Yep.
Okay.
I was there all the way through.
From the
Perm album
to the
everything. Through the Batman album.
The breaking up of the revolution.
All of that. Yeah. Through everything. Under the Cherry Moon.
Yeah. Oh yeah, great album. Yeah, great.
Everything. Graffiti Bridge. Yeah. You know, everything. Yeah. Like, there are people that know Prince from Purple Rain, from the Purple Rain album.
Yeah, because that's a commercial album.
Right, that's the commercial album. Right. That's the album that, like, you know, really.
Right.
But the real Prince fans know before.
Yeah, yeah.
Way before. Yeah. You know, 1999 and, you know, all of that stuff. It's like,
Yeah, it's crazy.
And I have all those albums, though.
Yeah, Alphabet Street.
Alphabet Street. Oh, man. Goodness. Oh, stop it.
I'm about to go in.
I'm telling you, if I met him, I wouldn't know what to say. I wouldn't know what to do. I just feel like he has always been such a progressive artist. He's always been way ahead of his time. He's always willing to push the envelope. He is the kind of artist that I want to be. You know, I want to be that kind of artist that is just like, you go there and you do what you want to do. You're not a follower. You're not trying to follow trends.
Right.
You're doing your own thing. And I think I've been able to do that, to establish myself as Allison. You know, I'm not a copy of anybody. I'm not, you know, trying to be like anyone.
Right.
This is me. This is what I do. This is my, you know, I'm inspired by, you know, what is going on around me and by other artists and so on. But Prince for sure. I love his stuff. The fact that he can go from being really, really raunchy and out there to singing about God.
Yep.
You understand? On the same album. You understand what I'm saying?
Right. Not many artists could do that.
I'm telling you. Mm-hmm.
Tupac, there's only a handful.
Yeah.
See, you know, Prince, he comes from a day when the money was different, too, in the game. See,
that's right.
Prince has, you know, that golden era money, that Michael Jackson money.
That's right.
That Madonna money.
That's right. You know, correct.
Before the funny Duddy publishing deal.
Yeah. Before that, what they call, what is it, 360?
360. That's what
they
call it. 360.
Where they own your face. They own everything.
On the toilet paper that you wipe your behind with
everything.
And they not even moving nothing for you.
Yep. And there it is, man. That's
crazy right there. But we're going to get on the record industry a little later on in this interview, for real. But what was your main inspiration behind the record, Roll It, Gal? And what were you thinking about when you preparing that Queen of the Soca album? Because I know sometimes the big labels, I know that they don't move the singles for y'all.
Right.
Everybody does everything, and then the label be like, oh, we got 500. We got 5,000 spins.
There it is.
Let's sign it now.
Sign your life over.
Yep. Sign right now. Yep. And then they be like, well, can you give us an album by 2 weeks?
Yeah,
before you sign right here, will you have an album by 2 weeks?
It's
called 13 tracks.
That's it.
And by the way, we have this list of artists we need you to consider to work with. We don't say you have to work with them. But
there you go. But you know,
you gotta consider
just
to work with them.
Encouraging you.
Yeah. Yes, we're just encouraging you.
Mm-hmm.
How was that whole process right there?
Well, Roll It Gal was actually written by Chantal Lane. The music was done by a producer who passed away about a year ago. His name was Shell Shock.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Shell Shock. And he was extremely creative. He actually was working in soca for many, many years, produced a lot of stuff for people like Marshall, Destra, and even long before, you know, he was working on a lot of music for a lot of artists. And he was always creating beats, always creating rhythms, always, you know, always working. And he sent a set of rhythms to my manager, Van Gibbs, who a lot of people in New York and in the business know Van Gibbs. And they have a lot of respect for him. And Shell Shock sent the rhythms. He said, you know, Van, just listen to these. Tell me if you like anything, if you're feeling anything. And that particular music stood out for Van. Van said to me, Allison, if we get the right song for this music, it's going to be a hit. It's crazy. And at the time, I had just had my daughter and I was off the road for about a year. And so we wanted a song. We wanted a song that was going to, you know, not just any old song. It had to be something that was really going to take people, you know,
something
make people
substance.
Be like, yeah, had to be like, yeah, Allison is like, turn she heads. Is on point. Yeah.
If you're going to come, you got to come with it.
There you go. And he met Chantel and kind of talking with her and stuff. She was unknown at the time. And he realized that, you know, she had that kind of hunger going for her in terms of wanting to do something. So he said to her, look, this is the music. I want you to write something for Allison, write with her in mind, knowing that, you know, I'm all about woman empowerment and female empowerment, and that's something that's very resonant with me. Keeping that in mind, you know, write a song along those kind of lines for Allison. And she took a couple of days, and she came back, she did a demo, and I went in the studio and I listened to the demo, and I was ready to sing the song, like, straight off. First time I heard it, I fell totally for this track. It was like, it was crazy, just totally crazy right there and there. And I think, like, within a week of getting the demo, I mean, I didn't even really practice it. I went to Slam City Studios in Barbados. That's Chris Allman's studio.
That's big shout out.
Yeah. Wow. Of course. Slam City. Yep. And I said to Chris, I said, Chris, I am going to do a rough track. And just do a rough. I need to sing this song. I'm going to do a rough. So he said, no problem, Allison. Let's go. I went in the booth and I sang. And I came back out. And he said to me, Allison, that's your track.
There it is.
You don't need to do a rough. That's your track. What you hear on the recording was what I did when I went to go and do a rough track. It was
First take.
One shot deal.
First take. I was like, wow. And we put on the background vocals because I do most of the background vocals. I do background vocals on all of my songs.
Yeah.
Me and my little sister Indra, big shout outs to Indra. She sings on all of my music, all of my tracks. That's my girl. And we did the background vocals, and when we were finished with it, I was really happy. But it was when it went to get mixed and it came back. And I was in my truck. I used to drive an F-150.
Oh.
Yeah, I had a big truck.
Big truck. Okay. Big truck.
Okay.
Big gal toy.
Yeah, I'm telling you. And I put the CD in the CD changer. And I'm driving, heading down to the radio station to go and drop this track. And when I heard the mix, like, I almost drove off the road. I couldn't believe how good it's. I was like, my God, this is crazy. This is nuts. And then I thought, how are Bajans going to receive this? Because we actually released it during our carnival, during Crop Over. And it's not a straight ahead soca. It's not even, it's a Caribbean track, but it's not what would be considered straight soca. And I thought, well, how are Bajans going to receive this song? Are they going to like it? Do they think it's too far? I thought, well, it's too late now. Everything, I got to go drop the track, got to drop it. So I dropped the track and it just took off. People just fell in love with the track, like, straight away, totally. And women, just
anthem.
Oh, hell yeah. It was. There's so many women up until today.
I get amped when I hear the record, and I'm not even a woman.
But this is what I'm saying.
I feel like the energy.
It has that kind of, it just picks up, you know, people just gravitate toward this song. And, you know, it just took off from there, from Crop Over in Barbados, and it went through the Caribbean, and it went up to England, it went up to Canada, it was huge in Canada. You know, it just went everywhere.
I tell you this, it's funny, you know, that I say that I feel the energy, but, you know, when you're a DJ, not like a Jamaican DJ artist, but an actual disc jockey,
right?
You could feel it. And when you listen to a record, if I hear a record one time out, I could say I like it, or it's not going to work, or
right.
That's going to... The first time that I heard Roller Gal, I said, okay, this is going to work. This is something that I could input immediately. You know, without question, certain records, they got to work. They got to build up.
Right.
A lot of the records now, you know, they get brainwashed to people. So,
yes.
It'd be a terrible record. And then,
yeah.
You know, once you hear it once you hear it 95 times an hour.
Yep.
You know,
it gets into your psyche then after a while. Yeah.
The Roller Gal in particular, definitely, I felt that one. What I wanted to ask you is, with the Roller Gal record, you had the Allison Hynes version.
Right.
Then I came across a version with a J Status and a Chantel.
Right.
Then I came across a vinyl press from SRC,
mm-hmm.
which was just Chantel.
Right.
And then there was some confusion because when I first obtained a record, they were pushing it to me as Chantel's record. This is Chantel's record.
Right.
When I did research, I realized what it really was.
Right.
Now, with all that confusion in there, was it a situation where you gave them the record, Did Steve steal the record for SRC? Were was there some tension as far as it should have been both of you? Or can you just elaborate upon that entire situation, why there's four or five different artists touching your record?
Yeah, no, it was a case of they took it. After I had released Roll It Girl, we found out about the J Status one, and that was actually Chantel wrote it, as I said.
Mm-hmm.
She rewrote it for J Status the same year
that
it came out, and totally rewrote it. Change key, change everything, change your whole vibe, energy of the track.
Right.
And I think they put Rihanna on it as well.
Right.
And they did a video and all that stuff.
Right.
And we had no clue. We had absolutely no clue.
Now, they had marketed it in the U.S. and not in Barbados?
The J Status one was in England.
Okay.
I don't know in terms of the U.S., about the J Status version.
Right.
But as I said, we found out about it when an article was about to come out in the papers in Barbados about it.
Right.
And we found out about it the day before
it
came out in the papers that she had rewritten the song and yada yada. You know, she'd come up to New York and blah 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 and all of that.
Right.
We knew nothing about any of that. Nothing whatsoever.
Right.
Okay. You went and did that, fine. It failed. Okay, leave it alone now. So then now, on top of that now, she's signed to
SRC. Which is Universal.
Right, Universal. Right. And she's doing her first album, and Roll is going to be a single off of the album.
Right.
And I think they did have conversation with my manager, Van.
Right.
And, you know, Van had said to them, but, you know, this is wrong.
Right.
You know that this...
Shouldn't have, right.
You know, it just on principle,
right,
it's wrong.
Yeah.
You know, Allison's song is out there. It's still pumping. Right. It's still doing stuff.
Right.
Why are you now going to come and take the same song
and
re-record it and then claim it, you know? That's like a designer making an outfit then deciding, oh, you know what? I'm going to make one of those for myself.
Yeah.
Yep. And it's no longer a one of a kind anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and you come to the same party in the same outfit, and it's like, come on.
Yeah.
No. And it was, you know, it from their side of it was like, oh, but this is what the label wants, and we don't really want to do it. It's like, well, if you really didn't want to do it, you wouldn't do it.
You wouldn't do it, right?
Yeah. I mean, you have a brain in your head. You have some intelligence that, you know, you can make an informed decision and say, well, you know what? This is, you know, she went ahead and recorded it and released it. And I came across it because I was doing, the song was on mainstream, it was, you know, on mainstream radio.
It's a top 40. It's a top 40 single.
Right.
And, you know, I'm doing interviews and people are like, what's going on? You know, we had your track from long time.
Right.
And then this other version comes and, you know, what's going on? What's happening? So it caused unnecessary confusion.
I know that messed up your publishing a little bit too.
There you go.
You know what it is, really, what it comes down to too. I mean, you know, Allison, you're coming from an indie standpoint.
Yes.
And with the Chantel record, when they put that out like that, they have that major vehicle.
Exactly.
Behind them.
Exactly.
So despite the fact that, you know, it's your record.
Yeah.
And those who are up on it already know what time it is.
Right.
The fact that vehicle.
Yeah, she had, she had that behind her, so I didn't have that, so.
You know, it's very, but we want to be clear. We want to be clear right here, right now.
Yeah.
That although I got a lot of love for SRC and my people up there, what I have to be clear about is that Roll It Girl is and always will be Allison Hynes' record.
Right.
Despite the fact that Chantel wrote the record.
Right.
So at the end of the day, just to be clear, that's how that breaks down.
Yep.
And I could imagine that, you know, at the end of the day, you know, there's some frustration, you know, emotionally when you're seeing certain things that are incorrect. But, you know, only thing that I really say and looking upon that is what happened in that situation is not something that's uncommon in the music industry. And recently, I Twitter a lot. And mm-hmm. for those people that don't know, you can check me out. It's at DJ Drastic. And one of the things I said is that I don't think the music industry is, or something along the lines of, I don't think the music industry is shady or anything like that. I just think it's a lot of it's like a game of beat you to it.
Right. Yeah.
And that's something that I've observed many a time in dealing with just different artists. So, you know, I don't see what happened in that situation to be any different than, you know, what happened to a lot of artists. But, you know, we just want to be clear that you rock that record properly and that's your record.
Yep.
And we got your back here. So
thank you.
That's how that goes. You hear me, Kato? You hear me?
Yeah, man. Mama just called me, baby. I have to pick up a call from Mama, man. Done, no, man.
Yes. Enough respect to
Mom. Big up.
Yes, man. But we out here is chilling. I got some more. I read here that 11 years old, you moved from England to Barbados. Mm-hmm. What can you tell us about the differences from the cultural aspect and how did it change your musical, how you were brought up musically?
Being born and spending.
Y'all have to pardon Allison primarily because she's been rocking it the entire Labor Day weekend. And we're doing this right after the Labor Day weekend, so her voice is gone.
Telling you.
So if anybody's hearing like, yo, Allison sounds a little raspy.
She sounds
a little Marge Simpson with it. You know? You got to understand that she's been rocking it. Was it Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
Yeah, from Wednesday, Monday, actually.
The brass band. I know you was in. Crazy. You was at the Brooklyn Museum.
I was actually, I was all over the place.
All over the place.
I was everywhere.
How was what Eisenhower Park, was it?
Yeah, it was pretty good, It was pretty good. I had a good performance. When I was done, people were like, we want more. They were chanting like crazy. But yeah, it was good. I did Nocturnal with Vegas, me and Vegas.
Shout
I was really
Vegas.
Hammerstein up on the reggae tip.
Yeah. Shouts to Bobby Condors and Jabba.
Jabba.
You know, definitely shouts D-Life to
them. Yeah, so it was nice, man. Webster Hall with Mr. C.
Yeah.
It was good. It was nice. It was good.
That's what's up, man. Sounds like you was shaking and moving, man.
So between in England, I grew up on basically alternative, like English rock. My earliest influences would have been ABBA. I loved ABBA. My mom was the one that kind of turned me on to ABBA because she loved ABBA.
It's funny what you pick up from mom, though.
Yeah.
little things, you pick up, you don't even realize till later on.
Yep. So ABBA, Police.
I like Police.
Yeah. Messaging a bottle.
Yes.
Kate Bush. It was groups like Adam and the Ants. It was Bad Manners. I think Bad Manners did that song, Our House, in the middle of our street, Our House.
Rocking out. I'm about to get my fist pumping going on.
So it was that kind of music that was really kind of like my first influences. And then from home, my dad used to like to play LPs. Yes, I know about LPs and... 12 inches and 45.
The 45s is all reggae Caribbean for folks that don't know. Yeah. And
they take up a lot of less room than them big LPs.
Oh, man. Who you telling? Who you telling, man? Let me tell you something, man. Like, for the folks that don't know, the 40, there's two types of records. There's a 12-inch, which is the large record.
That's right.
That's the ones that they print, the LPs and the albums on, the big cover. Yep. And then there's the 45, which is the small ones with the fat hole in the middle.
There you go.
The paper
there
with
you
the,
go.
With the green or red or black slip.
There it is. You know what I mean?
One song on one side, one song on the other side. That was it.
That's all you could fit.
Yep.
On a 45, with the vinyl, the bigger the record, the better the quality.
Because
the grooves gap out.
There you go.
So on a 45, it's so small, you can only fit one song.
There you go.
But that 45, man, that's... I wish,
man.
Oh man, that's
so. My dad used to play, so he had albums like from Brooke Benton and George
He's
Benson.
A record collector.
Oh, man. George Benson is one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
George Benson.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, all day.
We had Bob Marley's Exodus album.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
It needs to be in the collection. Yes. If you don't, it's a problem.
Yeah. You need to have Exodus.
You need to have Exodus,
for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had other albums there that we would play. I remember my first album, my first own personal album.
Yeah, everybody remembers their first personal
album. What was it?
It was by a little boy. His name was Rodney Allen Rippey. I don't know how we got this, how I got his music or
how. I got to look this person up.
You got to look him up.
Let's see.
Rodney Allen Rippey.
He,
at that time, he must have been like as old as I was at the time. He was a little boy with a big afro.
Yeah.
And he was singing like all these happy songs. Like Candyman. No, Candyman. The Candyman can. And all of this happy music. And I just loved it. That was my first album.
Mm-hmm.
That first album, and then I got influences in terms of I remember there was a song that my dad used to play. My uncles used to go to Barbados every year during crop over, and they would bring back the music.
Yeah.
So I didn't know who the artists were. I didn't know any of that. I just knew that I liked.
It's like you got new music,
yeah, and it was music. That's
music.
All I cared about.
Let's do it,
and so that's where I got to hear West Indian music. And it's only as an adult that there was a song that I really, really liked, that I found out that Gypsy sang this song. And it was a song, I'm a warrior and I'm a fighter for what I stand for. And that's my total freedom, 'cause I'm a warrior and I'm a fighter, and I'm gonna fight on for my freedom. And it was a reggae track.
Lighter.
It was a reggae track, and it was sung by Gypsy, who is a Calypsonian.
Yes.
And I didn't know that. I just knew that I loved the song. Light it up.
Light it up.
And, I love that track, and it was only as an adult that I found out who actually sang the track.
Yeah.
So there was music that I knew, I just didn't know who sang them at the time until I moved to Barbados. Mm-hmm. And then when I moved to Barbados, obviously I got exposed to...
Yeah, because the Caribbean is much more cultured on music than other parts of the world.
There you go. So then I got to hear Caribbean music. I got to hear reggae. I got to hear dancehall. I got to hear soca. At the time that I was in school there, I would have been watching and listening to artists like the Mighty Gabby, the Mighty Griner. Red Plastic Bag would have come into play around that time. And there would have been other people that would have been coming up. So that's where I then started to experience calypso. And then a little bit later on, soca then came out of that. But that it definitely I really loved soca.
Yeah.
I was like
soca.
I like this music. I am feeling this.
This is what's for me.
Oh, definitely.
That's how you came into time.
Yeah, but I like all kinds of music, so it was good that I had the influences that I had in England to get to hear the Kate Bush and all the alternative kind of English rock, British rock kind of thing. I mean, I love that. I was like, you know, rocking out.
Yeah.
I was rocking out.
Bloody rock.
Rocking you.
All the rock music, you know what I mean? I was doing all of that. I was like all up in it, you know. I was like, you know, the White Snake and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I was loving that.
Yeah.
And, and then going over to Barbados and then getting that experience. So, I never had a narrow view of music. You know, I always wanted to embrace all kinds of stuff. I love merengue and salsa. I love African music. You know, whatever mood takes me is what I feel like listening to, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's what's up.
Yeah.
That's what's up, man. So what's your opinion on the landscape of the music industry right now? as far as from the soca music standpoint, and where you think it's heading in the next 10 years?
Soca music still has a lot of work to do. When your genre is not a recognized genre, you know you have
some on a Grammy category
to do. You know, we have, yeah.
That's what I'm just saying. Yeah. Grammy category. Yeah.
Come on, we need to have a Grammy.
You see,
you
see how they just separated hip hop and rap.
Yeah. You know,
what is that?
It's like, what?
Wow.
It's the same thing. But anyway, wow. So we definitely still have a lot of work to do. I think we have a lot of problems in terms of distribution of the music. Even though, yeah, we have the internet and all of that good stuff, in terms of real distribution, in terms of having our music in major stores, HMV,
major stores,
Virgin.
Is gone. You know,
well,
that.
Well, I mean, I know.
Internet retail.
You know, at least
internet retail outlets. Yeah,
outlets.
Like
retail.
iTunes and things
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, right, right. And on iTunes. I mean, there are very few soca artists that are on iTunes. Mm-hmm. Myself, Marshall, I think Bungie.
It is easy to get on iTunes, too.
You know, there's like a handful of soca artists that are on iTunes. Mm-hmm. But then the genre that they're in is reggae.
Yeah.
Or tropical.
I don't understand what tropical is.
I don't know what tropical is.
Because there's like the tropical.
What does tropical mean?
Tropical cancer?
No, you know what tropical means? Damn. That's tropical.
That's tropical.
You understand what I'm
saying?
World,
though. Where does world classify?
World is like you just lump everything in there. We don't know what it is, so we just put it in world.
World.
That's what world is. You don't want to be in world music.
Wow. It's not for
world
your country.
World music is with Celtic music,
yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, really obscure types of music.
Yeah.
You understand? You don't want to be in world music. You want to be where your music is going to be seen.
So people can find it for what it is.
So people, and that's what I'm saying. When you, if you go onto iTunes and you click genre and you go down that long list of genres, soca is not there.
Yeah.
So it means we have some work to do. We need to get soca recognized, you know, so that, you know, and there's still like, there's still some pettiness within soca among the artists themselves. And it's like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It does not make sense.
You got work together.
There is
kind of
more than enough room. There is more than enough room. Stop fighting one another down. Stop trying to pull down this one so that you can. How it is you pulling on somebody so that you could get through. And then when you get through, what gonna happen? You out there by yourself.
Yeah.
You understand? You need other people. Look at reggae. Reggae artists bring other artists with them. You know, they have a crew. If it is Red Rock gonna have, you know, two guys that he is bringing to the forefront. They may only do one song.
Shouts to Red Rock.
Yeah, but at least they're getting, you know, some kind of exposure, some kind of something.
And ride the wave. They call that riding the wave.
There you go. Yeah. So we in soca have to get that. We got to get that. We got to be able to say, look, you know what? I'm going to bring up this new artist. I'm looking for somebody right now. I'm looking for especially
that?
A female artist.
You hear that?
You hear that?
Yeah, I said
Allison Hines, the queen of soca, is looking for a new artist.
Yeah, I'm looking for a protege. I'm looking for somebody that has that it factor.
What about K Cash? You think you could hit a high note? Or
can you?
I don't think so. I'm more behind the scenes most of the time. But I could play the hype man every now and
then.
You could be the hype man.
But I'm definitely looking for, you know, somebody, especially a female, because there are a lot of males already in soca. Mm-hmm. A female that's gonna really come out, and because, you know, I've been in this business for a long time. Okay, it's been a while, and somebody needs to.
It's like that every genre, you know that. Look at the gap between Kim and Foxy. Now you got Nicki Minaj coming right now. Yeah, it's like 10 years in between.
Yeah, there needs to be somebody there that's gonna pick up the gauntlet and continue to run with it. You know.
Let me ask you a question, Allison. What do you feel about artists clashing? Like, how do you feel about them clashing and you know, going at each other? Do you feel like, for instance, you know, you being a soca artist, and at the end of the day, what we have a lot of on the hip hop forefront is that hip hop beefs motivate sales,
right?
And a lot of the major labels, which are the vehicles propelling these records and these artists, are actually pushing for it. Mm-hmm. Whereas it looks from an outsider standpoint, you know, okay, this artist disrespected this artist and now they have a beef. But really internally, it's propaganda. It's things out there that the labels are saying, yeah, do that.
Right.
Do you feel that something like that might help Soca? Do you feel that Soca as a genre should stay away from it?
I think Soca music is happy music. You know, it's not the kind of music that is geared towards, you know, I hate you, I don't like you. You know, it's not geared towards, you know, it's not to say that there aren't beefs in between artists. And that's where freestyling comes in, and that's where what is known in the region, in the Caribbean region, as picong, which is you're on a very slow calypso rhythm, and you make up stuff and you just go verse for verse for verse, and you know, you make up stuff and you talk about the person and you sing stuff and you do all that, but it's done in such a way that it's not personal,
right?
You know,
right.
It's just, yeah, it's who could freestyle the best. And then you have artists like Bungie Garland, big up to Bungie. You have artists like Lyrical, you have artists like Peter Ram and Lil Rick. These are guys that actually came out of the reggae genre and came over into soca. They could freestyle. These are guys that could freestyle on anybody and anything at any time. And that's always good. You know, that's always good. It's always good to have that kind of free-flowing creativity. But soca is about jump and wave and indie fete and having a good time. And, you know, it doesn't lend itself to warring. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's something that I think people should just embrace because of that. Because you forget your worries for a little bit. You forget about the bills. You forget about the mortgage. You forget about all that stuff. The kids are tearing up the house.
Yeah.
You know, you come out to a soca fete and you enjoy yourself. And you sweat and you drink some drinks. And you go home and you're like, yeah, I had a good time. I could face the world now.
And that's beautiful, though. That's a beautiful thing. That's how all music should be.
Yeah.
At the end of the day,
yeah.
You know, it's something like it's like when people come to the club. They come to the club nowadays, or at least in the U.S. to stare at you. They there's five guys in a corner drunk off one small bottle of champagne. Yo, listen. Look,
I'm a ting in look, the ear. Look.
Yeah, they're trying to be ballers.
Listen,
trying to be.
Let me break it down real quick.
Balling
right?
on a budget.
There's no such thing. I don't.
On the budget.
I don't endorse it.
Yeah, you can't be balling on a budget.
Listen,
I don't endorse it. I'm just defining it.
You're just saying, right? Okay.
Listen, when I come to the club, there's different types of clubs. You got your, you know, your mediocre spot where you know it's more kind of laid back and you wear whatever and you chill. Then you got your more snooty spots where you got the gay door person and he looks at you like you're like a piece of feces on the line, you know, and those type of atmospheres. And I always found it amusing, you know, observing it when the guys come, and it's six guys now. You know the rule when you go to the club. You come pairs, one guy, one girl, one guy, one girl.
Right.
Or me come with five gal, one
oh,
line.
Or you come with women, you know, whatever it is, you know, bring some, what do they say, bring some sand to the, don't bring sand to
don't
the beach.
Don't bring sand to the beach.
Nah,
no sausage on the shores. You
all understand what I'm saying. But at the end of the day, how are you going to have six guys on a bottle of champagne that I could drink by myself like it was a bottle of Snapple?
I don't even endorse those small bottles of champagne at all. Small bottles is for Hennessy because you have to drive.
There you go.
But come on, man. Come on.
Oh, and man. Even so, no, you see, I mean,
that's something you get at a baby shower or something. That's what it is. That's a baby shower present. And you get a six pack of that and you just go with that.
Wow.
This is what it is.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Oh,
man. That's what it is, man.
The game's changing, man. That's
the game is all, as my man Puff Daddy would say, it's all effed up now. What I'm going to do now, huh?
It's over,
what I'm going to do now, huh?
Yeah,
where all the ball is at?
Just to be clear, new generation, it is not cool when your older brother goes to the club and there's five or six of his gentleman friends on one small bottle of
champagne. Don't pay for the bottle with your card. It's like a big problem. One, somebody could double swipe your card if all my players on the streets know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Two is that they gonna come with the crazy gratuity.
Yeah.
You might as well pay with cash. Yeah. Go to the ATM before you roll in the club.
Yeah, you should be.
Man.
Listen, I mean, I'm a woman. I usually don't have to buy drinks because
you're just messing up the bartender.
I'm the Caribbean queen, so that's how it is. You understand?
You buying drinks for?
When I step in, I go any VIP and I tell them what bottles I want. Okay,
champagne. But you can drink champagne because you're a woman.
There you go.
No offense.
There you
go. But champagne is a lighter drink.
But guys, you know, guys,
I like champagne.
Guys supposed to have beers. You know, Hennessy.
A little Johnny Walker.
Little shot, warm.
Johnny Walker,
straight.
I'm a cranberry and champagne in the
car.
I can't do that.
Stop it. Don't say that.
Oh,
no.
Man.
Edit, you know what? No. Don't let people know that. No. No.
We're gonna have to edit.
No,
that.
Leave that for me. Leave that for me.
I gotta drive, man.
Wow. I'm a fucking cranberry juice girl.
I gotta drive though.
Wow.
I'm the designated driver. I'm usually helping people out the club. Helping them out the club.
Okay, well, if you're the designated driver, then fine.
All right. We'll let you slide with that one, okay? This time. We'll
all right.
Plus, you can't do the right hand and the left hand. I'm gonna deal with the left hand if you dig what I'm saying.
Oh, man.
And we continue to keep it moving.
So, Allison, let me ask you this. In all the places that you've been performing your music for the beautiful people, what's been your favorite place?
The country to visit during Carnival, man. Let's be real.
Oh,
what country got the poppin' festival?
Specifically during Carnival.
Stop it.
During Carnival.
Not even fair.
Nobody take offense or offense to this right now.
That's not fair.
I'm Jamaican. I'm not going to take offense. My friend in there is from Trinidad. He's not going to take offense. Who has it? I heard Grenada on the low.
Uh-huh.
And it was, I think it was Bahamas. I heard you.
I haven't been to Grenada Carnival in a while. I haven't touched Grenada Carnival in a while, but their energy is really good. I've done St. Lucia Carnival. Was it St. Lucia? Yes, it is St. Lucia Carnival. They're crazy.
Crazy.
St. Lucians, I love y'all, but y'all are crazy.
I heard St. Kitts is crazy too.
I did the truck when I was with Square One. We did a truck in St. Lucia. It was like there were people everywhere. I couldn't see I was afraid that somebody was going to like end up under the truck. Like there was just a sea of people.
Wow.
When we went into the center of town, you could not see the road. It was nothing but people.
Wow.
I'm like, how is this truck getting through these people without killing somebody? I don't know.
Did they move though? Did they move?
They did somehow.
That's nice.
Of course.
Somehow, but it was nuts. It was really, really nuts.
Nice.
And of course, you know, the mother of all carnivals, Trinidad Carnival. Trinidad Carnival
is
putting your vote on the ballot for Trinidad.
Trinidad has to be.
There it is.
I mean, I'm Bajan. You know, I love Barbados. I love the blue, yellow, and black. But Trinidad Carnival is like.
Is it because it's all on one island? Because that's what most of the other Caribbean countries tell me. They're like, yo, well, it's Trinidad because everything is right there.
Well, it's not even that. It is the energy and the vibe of the people. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of Trinidadian friends. I have all kinds of friends. I got Jamaican, I got Puerto Rican, I got St. Lucian,
Trinidadian.
I got all kinds of friends. But I have a lot of Trini friends. And like my manager is Trini and all of that. And Trinidadians like live, breathe, exist for Carnival.
Yeah.
Like do you understand that there are Carnival loans? There are loans. You can take out a loan.
For your costume.
Wow. That's how serious. This is what I'm saying. That's how serious it is. You understand? People will let alone play pain. They ain't gonna pay the light bill. They ain't gonna pay the car note. They ain't buying groceries. They ain't doing none of that. All their money going towards the costume. And they're still paying for the costume this year.
Next year.
Still making the payments on that loan, and when Carnival come back around again, fresh loan again, because you must be on the road. Juve and Carnival Monday and Tuesday. Trinidadians take their Carnival very.
I've been there.
Very
it's very serious.
It's serious. They don't play.
They don't
play. And all of my male friends. those of you who are listening, any guys out there who have never been to Trinidad Carnival,
yeah, go.
Please take a neck brace.
Yeah.
Take a neck brace because your heads are going to be whipping from side to side. Ridiculous. Because there's beautiful women on every street. Wow. All over all Trinidad over. Because they're mixed up. Black and Indian, black
it's like
and
Canada.
White.
It's like Canada.
Chinese
tell me it's like Canada.
White. It's just like all blended.
I love all of that.
It's all blended.
Take it all.
The women are beautiful. The men are handsome. It's like, you can't believe it. You can just walk on the street and see a pretty girl. Yeah. Just walk on the street. So guys, take your neck brace. Yeah. Because right. You will have whiplash looking at all these pretty girls. And girls, you do the same. Because let me tell you, pretty men, handsome men, a dime a dozen. They are everywhere.
Wow.
Everywhere. I'm forever like, I'm like, oh my God, he look good. Oh God, no, he does. Oh gosh, look at him. It's crazy. That's Trinidad
it's
Carnival.
Like a, it's like a giant candy shop.
I'm
like,
telling you, that is
kids in a giant
serious
candy
eye candy. Serious eye candy. I ain't gonna lie. I ain't gonna lie. I know. I've been going to Trinidad Carnival for years.
And there it is.
That's what's up, man. Yep. We're going to wrap up the interview with this last question because we've been enjoying this all this time, man. Oh, man. Yes. I can't take my eyes off you.
Stop it. You're making me blush.
I see. When should your fans look out for your next studio release album? And who are some of the artists that you look forward to working with in the near future?
Okay, well, my latest release, actually, is an album called Caribbean Queen. My first album was Soca Queen. Mm-hmm. That was my debut solo album.
I tried to look it up, but they kept on giving me Billy Ocean.
Oh, no.
I kept on getting Billy Ocean.
That's not cool. No, we need to get... No, no.
Yo, we got to call Wikipedia and get this moved and changed.
No, we need to get that sorted. We need to get that sorted.
Wow.
Right now.
Right now.
I'll go into Wikipedia myself.
Because
I've had to do that before.
And we're going to bump Billy Ocean.
Billy Ocean gets bumped. No, there's a new Caribbean queen in town. Straight up. Wow. So it's in stores already.
Yeah, it's in stores. It's online, iTunes, and any other sites like that. It has 21 tracks on it. And a couple of the collaborations that I have on there, I have what with Jack Yore. A remix of Call On Me. I also have a reggae track that's done really well and is still doing well. King and Queen with myself and Richie Spice. And of course, my latest single, which is
with Shaggy.
With Shaggy.
Yo.
Mr. Lover.
Shaggy.
It's called Can't Let My Love Go. It's Allison Hynes featuring Shaggy. And we did a video to it as well. It's up on YouTube, so you could go check it out up on YouTube. It's already had, like, I don't know, thousands of hits in the past 2 months. Yes. It's had, like, thousands of
hits. No major MTV or BET play,
right.
Of course.
That's right.
That's what's up.
Yep. So, you know, people are loving the video. They're loving the song, you know, so.
We got the record. We're going to get into that.
We're going to definitely get into that.
We're definitely going to get into that record as well.
Yeah. So the album is out there for you to go get. You know, go get your copy of Caribbean Queen. Of course, you can find me. I'm on Twitter. Drastic is following me, and I think I'm following him.
Oh, yeah. That's my Twitter homie.
Yeah. We Twitter homies,
dude. I got to create a Twitter account because then I follow you everywhere.
There you go.
Everywhere. Right to left, left to right, out the building.
There you go. So I'm up on Twitter. I'm on Facebook, of course. I have quite a few pages up on Facebook. I have a few fan pages that you could go on to. I have my MySpace page.
My MySpace page is up and running.
Whenever I release new music, my new music goes up on my MySpace player for sure, so you can go. I also have a website, AllisonHynes.com.
Check it out.
You can go to that, go to my website, check it out, give me your feedback, tell me what you like, what you don't like, what you want. You know, we listen to all of that. We get all the feedback. We love to get feedback. I have to say a special shout out to all my people up on Twitter, all my tweeples.
Yes.
I have to shout out to all my tweeples because whenever, you know, I send my tweets, I post pics, and I always get responses from my tweeples. So I must say a big shout out
big
to
up,
the Twitter.
Big up.
Yeah, man. So I'm out there. just finished up with Labor Day. I'll probably be heading to Miami for Miami Carnival.
Yes.
And there's other stuff coming up. But my itinerary is up on MySpace.
All right.
It's always up on my MySpace page as to where I'm going to be next, what's coming up. If I'm coming to your town, you know, if I'm coming someplace close to you.
So all you stalkers out there, make sure you get all those dates ready.
I'll be recording
them and everything. You know what? The stalkers got to get past the bodyguards. You understand? They got to get past the bodyguards because you know the Caribbean Queen is not traveling without the bodyguards.
All right.
You understand? Must have the security in full effect.
Top flight.
Yeah. You understand?
But overstand.
You understand? Because we roll deep. We don't roll cheap. You understand?
Yeah. Champagne. Right.
There you go.
No cranberry. No. Definitely, man. We've enjoyed this whole time. You chilling out, WMEC Radio. My man, DJ K Cash. Allison Hines, one more time. Can you get a whoop whoop?
Listen, this is the Caribbean Queen, Allison Hines, hailing all the way from Barbados, the 246. And you know, I'm alongside K Cash right here. And of course, the untouchable DJ Drastic.
Big it up.
Don't touch
that's
that.
That's how we go.
Boom.
Boom shot. Boom shot. Boom.
Yeah, we coming right back with the record featuring Shaggy. Shouts to Reed Richards as well. Y'all know what it is. We gonna be back. Y'all WMEC it go down like that. Digging in the crates. Artist profile.
Radio Nation. Zia.
All right.